Friends, the reading comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. You'll find it in your Bible. We give you the pages if you need a bit of help. Hear now the word of God. It's written by Paul to the church in Corinth. And he's using a royal we, but he really means him. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches in Macedonia. During a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and extreme poverty has overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means, and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in the ministry to the saints in Jerusalem. And this, not merely as we expected, they gave themselves first to the Lord, and by the will of God to us, so that we might urge Titus that, as he has already made a beginning, so we should complete this generous undertaking among you. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, in all in our love for you, we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this manner I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something, now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who has much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. This year of stewardship season, I have been so thankful to have a team that's been working with me. I can see you. Can you raise your hands? Some of you down. Yeah. There, these people are helping. Surprise! I'm thankful for you all. And I started thinking and praying about you back when I was in Scotland this summer. I wrote Jean and said, I don't know what to do about stewardship. And Jean said, well, I'll take care of it. Do you have some names or some ideas? And we came up with some names, and we're blessed by these people. And then we came out, because I am Presbyterian, a whole list of dates when we need to do things. And Jean has loved the list. Just makes my heart go like this. But then she said, do you have a theme for stewardship? I'm thinking, you're lucky I thought about it in July. Really, a theme? And so I didn't answer her, because, you know, Scotland's a long way away. And then on my I had two free Sundays that I didn't go to church. One of them I went to a beer factory called Tennant's Brewery at Sunday at 11 o'clock. It's the wildest thing I could think to do. I know, wild pastor. And the other one, of course, I went to church. And I went to Duncan Burg McIntosh Church in a place called Fort William in Scotland. And I went that day, and it was pretty packed. And the woman, I sat next to her when she goes, we're new members. We've only been here about 20 years. I said, oh. And she said, it's a baptism. That's why it's so full. And I said, great. And then she said, you'll come down to coffee hour. And I said, well, sure. And I went down to coffee hour, and the pastor and his wife took me out to eat for a meal. Lovely day at church. But it was lovely because it was Stewardship Sunday. I can't tell you the last time I actually sat and heard a stewardship sermon. And it was pretty brilliant, as they would say. And so I kept the bulletin. This is their whole bulletin. They sang six hymns and the doxology, because it is Scotland. And the two verses they chose were Proverbs 11 that you heard Riley read, and then the 2 Corinthians passage. And I wrote down notes, and I sent them to Jean, and they liked them. They probably thought I was brilliant. Not really. And then I thought, this sermon will be a breeze. I'll pull out my bulletin and my notes. And guess what? I can't read any of them. Except the word generosity. It's the only thing I can read. And I thought, I suspect that's because that word generosity really kept me and kind of sat in me. It's the passage that the theme for the whole stewardship season of, you know, those that give water shall get water. It's that giving what you have to share grows something and helps it flourish. I'm intrigued by that. And so I started thinking about the word generosity, and you know it means sharing what you have, but from a biblical perspective, it means something more. It means an awareness, an acknowledgement at your very core that everything we have comes from God. Every financial gift, everything we have. And it also comes from God is love and forgiveness and grace. Everything we have is not ours. It comes from God. And from that acknowledgement comes generosity. The hope is if you understand this, then your heart and your mind and your actions are engaged out of thanksgiving to God to help others. Laura Mendenhall said that generosity allows us to be connected to God's generosity. And that's what gives us life. The abundant, eternal life, she reminds me. It's out of our generosity that we experience God's generosity of grace. The love that is not held back from us in any way. And I think what I hear the passage from 2 Corinthians telling us is we need to learn to beg. Not beg for money, though I'm not opposed to that if I thought it would help. But we're supposed to beg to learn to be generous. We're supposed to beg to be generous. Isn't that a different way of looking at it? It's clear in Paul's letter that he really cares about this church in Corinth. He says, brothers and sisters. That's an endearment of love and relationship. And he says to them, you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and we want you to excel in this generous undertaking. He wants them to excel in generosity, not just eagerness. And I'll tell you a little bit about those churches in Macedonia. Those churches were made up of mostly slaves and lower economic social people. So they did not have money. And there was a drought, some economic things going on in the land. So these Christians had even less than anyone else. And Paul was all about raising money for the Jerusalem church. Something had happened that had put them in a really difficult situation. So the churches outside of Jerusalem were raising money for those people who were still in Jerusalem. And Paul didn't ask the Macedonians to give money initially. See, I think he knew they were in poverty and economic straits, and he didn't want to ask them. He was trying to kind of save them. I don't think he wanted to embarrass them. He didn't want them to be in a difficult situation, and they would have none of it. I mean, they said, we want to help. And it's not just they wanted to help a little bit, they wanted to help a lot. See, their faith had brought them abundant joy and had changed their life, and they wanted to give to that church in Jerusalem, and they would not be held back, and they gave their part, and then they gave more. It was like their lives were transformed by following Christ, and they heard this need, and they could not not give anything. They couldn't contain their joy. They couldn't contain their love. They could not contain their giving. And so Paul tells this story to the Corinthians, hoping that it will inspire them. It's like if you put a pebble in a bit of water, the bands go, you know, it ripples out. He's hoping that the Macedonians' energy and enthusiasm will ripple into the Corinthians. He's hoping that they will hear encouragement from one church to another. And so he tells them a story, and he tells them the story about the Macedonians. And I got to tell you, stories work a lot better than guilt. This is a time when Paul's not trying to lay guilt on them. He's trying to encourage them. And I read a story that said they think there are 21st century Macedonians in places like Egypt and Latin America and Africa and Asia, where they give more than they have because their faith in some ways has sent them on fire. The man tells a story about going to Nanjing, China. And I'm probably not saying that right, but I'll just own it. And he went with a group that were there to talk to the China Christian Council. And they went there to share good news. And on Sundays, this small group went way over around the town to visit churches. One by one they went. And there was a Chinese woman from L.A. who was in her 80s who said, "I want to go across the river to a church I've read about that's made up of farmers." Well, that was not on the agenda because they wanted to go to the real classy churches. But she got herself strong, and you didn't mess with her. So she went to this church made up of mostly farmers, and 900 people showed up that Sunday. 900. And she got up there and told them what her church was doing in L.A., told them about her church that was growing and they were having to actually build another building. And she told them that her church sent blessings and prayers for them, and then she sat down. And the service went on. You think our services are long? China, they go a long time. And they called her back near the end and they said, "We have something to tell you," said the pastor. "We got so excited by the work of your L.A. church and their building that we have taken up an offering for you." And they came up with what would have been $140, a church of low-income farmers. And this woman was smart enough, she took the gift and said, "Thank you." She knew they couldn't afford it, but she did not accept it. And tell you the church, that church in L.A. wasn't half the straits that it was in Jerusalem. They weren't any need. They didn't really need that for their new building. But that church, overwhelmed with generosity, gave beyond their ability, and she took it. Because she knew her American church may not need the money, but they needed the witness of that generosity. They needed to be reminded and not lose sight that when we give, it goes to real people. And it goes to folks that need it. And we need to remember that there are those around the world that can give in ways that we can't imagine. She knew her church needed to learn how to beg again and how to beg to be generous like these people. Kind of stunning to me in this 21st century. See, Paul was hoping that the Corinthians would catch some of this eagerness, like that woman was hoping her church in LA would too. That their love of Jesus Christ would erupt out into love and action. See, I love Paul here. He's trying to get those Corinthians to act a little bit better. Can you figure out? They pledged with eagerness, we'll do this, and it's been a year and the money never came. And so he's trying to say, remember how you loved Christ. Remember when it was easy to give. Remember when you pledged and just follow through. He wants them to have joy and abundance, and that comes from giving. He wants them to revive what they once had, to learn to be generous and to beg to be generous. Match your joy with action. Because there is a thrill in being generous. The story I told to Skyla is true. The children were more happy when they gave the snacks than when they received them. And they did studies for adults, and they found the same thing. But for us Christians, that generosity comes because God has first loved us. And so I'm doing a stewardship sermon. Yay! But really, it's not a begging for money. It's begging to learn how to be generous once again. I mean, there are many ways to calculate what to give. Tell them to give 10%. Tell them to give just 1% more. Tell them to give till it hurts. Before taxes, after taxes, I don't know. Paul doesn't give a formula here. He hints at it. Give to your means, and then maybe just give a touch more. C.S. Lewis wrote it this way. If our expenditures on comforts, luxuries, and amusement, etc., is up to the standard common among those at the same income as our own, we're probably giving away too little. If our charities do not pinch or hamper us, I should say they are too small. There ought to be things we would like to do and cannot because it would affect our charity giving. You should feel a bit of a pinch. And I think that's kind of what he's urging those Corinthians to do. Give what you're able, what's your means. If you have an abundance, you give of an abundance. Not in a way that you're going to put yourself in poverty. I don't think, honestly, that would ever happen. But give a fair balance. For the one who had much did not have much, give to the one who did not have much. And the one who had little did not have too little. That's the goal, that we learn to give once again. With some enthusiasm, I got to tell a story on one of the members. One of the members came with their pledge card already filled out. Oh, my Lord, no, it's the 24th. You can't do it now. But they came with that enthusiasm to pledge and be a part. And that's what I'm inviting you in these next couple weeks, that we learn once again what it means to be generous. That you don't write numbers down quickly, that maybe you pray and think and discuss with family members or partners what you're going to give. And remember the Corinthians and remember that church in China. Remember the joy that Christ has given you, the thrill that comes from giving. Remember when maybe faith was new and young, and give with that joy. For we are loved by God in abundance, in abundance. And we learn now how to beg to be generous. So people might say, look at Old First Presbyterian Church. Their abundant joy has ever flowed and overflowed in a wealth of generosity. Wouldn't that be lovely to be gossiped about in that way? Oh, they're the generous church. May it be so. Amen.